This morning's sermon is entitled Friendship with the World, based on James chapters 3 and 4. Verses 4 and 6 of chapter 4 tell us, "Do you not know that friendship with the world is hostility toward God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. But he gives a greater grace. Therefore, it says, God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble." A story is told of a pastor who saw a movie about a lively and friendly church in a small community. One particular scene in the movie impressed him. In this scene, at the beginning of a Sunday service, everyone turned and shook hands and warmly greeted others who sat nearby. After watching this movie, the pastor decided he would try this friendly greeting routine in the church he served, especially as a way to make visitors feel welcome. So one Sunday, he announced that the following Sunday, they were going to begin this custom. At the close of this same service, a man who was a first-time visitor turned to the lady seated behind him. He smiled, extended his hand, and said, "Good morning. It's good to be here. What's your name?" She looked at him with shock and said, "I beg your pardon. That friendliness business doesn't start until next week." The pastor of that church had a problem, and so it seems, so did some of its members. The church that the Apostle James addressed in today's sermon also had a problem. The symptoms of their problems were things like welcoming rich people to their worship service, shunning people who were poor and demonstrating that they were not welcome, bickering over their own possessions and pleasures while not feeding the hungry, talking a good talk of faith on the Sabbath, but not walking the walk the rest of the week. As you read between the lines in James' epistle, you can almost hear the church members saying, "My wants come first. Take care of the poor and needy in our community? Don't even get me started about those people coming into our worship service. And how about how they dress? They're noisy children, such a bother, the whole lot of them." These were just symptoms of the real problem, and James has a name for it. He calls it friendship with the world. This is the problem of God's people turning their backs on the things of God and living like the unbelievers all around them. In his epistle, James tells us the origin of this problem of friendship with the world. He tells us the problem has a threefold origin. Origin number one is the devil. James 3:15 says, "This is not the wisdom that comes from above, but it is earthly, unspiritual, demonic. The so-called worldly wisdom of putting my wants above everything else and everyone else," James says, "comes from the devil." Origin number two is our own sinful flesh. James 4:1 says, "What causes this? Is it not that your passions are at war within you?" And Matthew 15:19 puts it this way, "For out of the heart come evil thoughts. These are what makes a man unclean." Origin number three is the unbelieving world around us. James 4:4 says, "Don't you know that friendship with the world makes you an enemy with God?" When we act like unbelievers, adopt their priorities, and to lay aside what you know God wants of you, James says makes you an enemy of God. James challenges us to consider what is a huge issue facing Christians today, facing our congregation. Will I be a friend of the world or a friend of God? We must ask ourselves, where are my values and the values of my family being shaped? What are my children and grandchildren learning to be the most important issues in life? How is my life and the choices I make any different than the unbelievers around me? Is God's church and his word the number one influence in my life, or just one of many influences from which I choose? In the Church of James, he describes four results of this problem of friendship with the world. These results are listed in chapters 3 and 4 of his epistle. First of all, in 3:16, he speaks of disorder and every evil practice. A natural consequence of friendship with the world whether in church or at home, is every evil practice you can imagine, accompanied by disorder and confusion. Secondly comes fighting and frustrations. James puts it this way in chapter 4, verse 2. You cannot get what you want, so you quarrel and fight. When each one in a church or home is looking out for number one and not concerned for the needs of others, then fighting, frustration, and lack of fulfillment are constant companions. Thirdly, James says that even good actions like our prayers are corrupted. He says in chapter 4, verse 3, you ask and do not receive because you ask wrongly to spend it on your own passions. Being a friend with the world changes our prayers from listening to God and asking He wants to making our prayers a shopping list of our selfish wants and desires. Such prayers can go unanswered. James puts it this way, you ask and ask, but do not receive. Finally, says James, when Christian individuals, families, and churches have become so very much influenced by the unbelieving world around them, they can commit spiritual adultery. Our friendship with the world can cause us to divorce ourselves from Jesus. James puts it this way in chapter 4, verse 4. You adulterous people, do you not know that friendship with the world makes you an enemy with God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend with the world makes himself an enemy with God. Wow. James pulls no punches here. He tells it like it is. He could very well be speaking to any Christian congregation today. He could very well be speaking to our congregation today. Does he have your attention? He certainly has mine. So what is the solution to this problem of God's people being more influenced by the world than being an influence on the world? What is the cure to our disease of having friendship with the world? The cure or solution is not us being shamed or guilted into trying to shape up. When God's judgment is preached, it is not done to drive us to despair or to lean upon our own efforts. God's judgment is preached to drive each of us to the arms of our Savior, Jesus. He alone is the solution to our sin and guilt. Jesus is God's grace in human flesh. James tells his church and us today that the solution to our sin and friendship with the world is God's grace, His undeserved, unmerited, and unconditional love in Jesus. James says to sinners like us, God gives more grace. In James 4:6, he tells us this wonderful news. But God gives more grace. James also tells us in chapter 3, but the wisdom from above is gentle and full of mercy. Grace is God's nature. Wisdom and mercy are God's nature. Grace, wisdom, and grace are more than characteristics. They are the very nature of God. God is grace. God is wisdom. God is mercy. Jesus makes us friends with God so that we no longer need to go down that dead-end street of being friends with the world. We no longer need to grasp desperately onto the values and priorities of this sinful world that lead to an eternal dead-end street. James says to sinners like us, God gives us more grace. Grace originates with God. We don't earn it or deserve it. James says it is from above. In Ephesians 2:8, St. Paul also declares, by grace you have been saved. It is the gift of God. James says to sinners like us, God gives more grace. What is the outcome of this grace? Where did God's grace end up? Let us look at that cross over our altar. Let us look at the one who was nailed to that cross for you and me. Jesus is the grace of God in human flesh, who is crucified to pay for your sins and mine, for our friendship with the world. He rose from death in victory to make you and me a friend with Almighty God. Because of Jesus, we now have peace with God. And having peace with God frees you and I to be at peace with other people. James says it this way in 3:18, "And a harvest of righteousness is sown by those who make peace." There's a wonderful old story about two families in the state of Kentucky. It was in the early 1940s, and these families had been fighting for many years, but no one could even remember what started the fight. Shots had been fired, farm animals had been killed, a son had been killed. This son's brother, named Bill, decided that he was going to even the score. However, before he could get his revenge, he was called to serve as a soldier in the Second World War. While he was away, his mother had a very hard life. Her husband, Bill's father, died. It was a huge struggle just to feed this large family. One Sunday, the head of the other family heard a sermon about the grace of God in Jesus Christ. It changed his heart. He was moved to make up for the many years of feuding and fighting. So for the 2 years Bill was in the war, this man secretly had food delivered to Bill's mother. He hired a young boy to leave the food at her door every night. When Bill came home after the war, he sought to find who was responsible for this loving act. And when he found out who the provider was, he was shocked. Suddenly, years of hostility were ended. The feud was over. The grace of God in Jesus Christ brought the peace and forgiveness these two families had needed for years. Today, we thank God that He gives more grace. Today, we thank God that in Jesus Christ, we have been made God's friends. Today, we are reminded that friendship with the world is a dead-end street for our homes and our church. Today, we thank God that He has called us to be His own people. And though we are sinners, He loves us still and will always give us more grace. In the name of Jesus, amen.